Hey everybody, it's the Prospect Podcast. Matt Larkin here with the Hockey News and Ryan Kennedy, the Prospect Rain Man, as always. So much to talk about today because it's a fun time of year. It's an action-packed time of year.
Yes.
Ryan, I think we should start in Major Junior where we've got all the major CHL finals happening. So let's talk about each of the series and just especially which players you have your eye on. So let's start in the OHL with Sault Ste. Marie versus Hamilton.
Yeah, pretty nice series, and it's funny because Sault Ste. Marie was the best team in all of Major Junior this year. Just had a dominant campaign, but the playoffs have been kind of tough for them. They've gone seven games a couple of times already. There was some overtimes, some double overtimes, but they are here now, and just a really fun, loaded lineup. Boris Kachuk, the Tampa Bay prospect, has been amazing for them. They got Matt Vilalta in net, just signed his entry-level deal with the Los Angeles Kings. Another Tampa Bay prospect, Taylor Radish, he was brought in this year to help them make that big push. Obviously, he won a title with Erie last year. And then you got Connor Timmins on the back end, Colorado pick, and then Morgan Frost. For me, one of the breakout players of the entire OHL, Philadelphia Flyers first rounder, he's just having an amazing season. So tons of firepower in the Sioux. They come up against a Hamilton team that is very intriguing, pretty veteran. Their big acquisition was Robert Thomas, the St. Louis Blues first rounder, came over from the London Knights. Just a fantastic all-around talent. He can give you a bit of everything, and he can obviously put points on the board. And he has been amazing for the Bulldogs since he came over. Nicholas Camano, a Dallas Stars pick, he's another. He's actually older than Thomas. He's a veteran OHLer. He started out his career with Flint, but he's been a very good steadying presence. He can really put the puck in the net as well. You got Matthew Strome from the famous Stromes. He's a Flyers pick. And then Caden Fulcher in net, I think, has been pretty key during this playoff run. He went undrafted, but then the Detroit Red Wings signed him to a rookie deal in the summer. And he's interesting. I mean, he's like 6'4". He's got great size. It was just a matter of, his game was a little noisy. He had to kind of put things together. And I feel that he's been doing that more lately. And it's a big reason why the Bulldogs are in the final.
Interesting. And it's funny, I've had my eye on Morgan Frost all year because I keep wondering, okay, maybe the Flyers didn't lose the Braden Schenn trade. So do you think, because that was the reaction early in the year, especially when Schenn was lighting it up. Mm. But has Frost shown enough that it's almost like, okay, this trade is looking pretty balanced now? Or is it too early to say that about Frost?
Well, I think the amount of progression he's made is really impressive. And I think you have to say, like, I know the Flyers are pretty deep up front, but, if Morgan Frost has a good summer, it's like, I wonder if he gets a shot at Philly even next year. He's been that good, and I'm not sure. I mean, you can always have more seasoning in junior. I understand that, but I think you at least have to give him a look based on what he's done so far, and that's a big testament to the Flyers scouts identifying a player who was in that kind of 25 to 40 range. We had him as an early second rounder in draft preview, but obviously the Flyers liked his skills package, and he has certainly repaid them.
And Robert Thomas, I know he doesn't have any AHL seasoning yet, of course, but because the perception of him is so glowing in terms of his maturity as a player, does he strike you as the kind of guy that could make the jump right to the NHL with the Blues next year?
Yes, he does. I think the Blues are very high on him. And, there's going to be some good opportunities on that St. Louis roster. There's going to be a lot of good internal competition in the fall. But I would say that Robert Thomas has kind of a lead role there. If he continues to play the way he does now, then I think we would definitely see him in the NHL next year.
Interesting. It's funny. That's why I already think the Blues are a big sleeper next year, because they have Robert Thomas, and if Jordan Kiwu could maybe make it, and yep, Clint Costin and Tage Thompson's already there,
yep,
I think they can make a big turnaround next year. Switching over to the Q, we have Blainville Boisbriand. Hopefully, mm-hmm, I pronounced it properly. I gave it my best shot, versus Acadie Bathurst.
Yes.
So who are you looking at in that series?
Well, there's some interesting veterans for Blainville Boisbriand, both of whom actually signed NHL deals this year. Alexandre Alain, who actually just signed with Montreal, bit of a late bloomer, has really turned it on the past couple of seasons with the Armada. He's the kind of kid that finds those soft spots in the offensive zone and gets offense from it. And then Alex Barré-Boulet, who the New York Rangers signed earlier in the season, he's another great talent where he really sort of came on in the past year or two, put up a ton of points. And it's interesting because I know that a lot of Habs fans were upset that they missed out on Barré-Boulet, even though he's playing in their backyard. But now they got Alain, so I think they'll be happy with that. Another player to consider as a bit of a sleeper for the 2018 draft is Luke Hedman. Pretty good center, needs to pack on some pounds. I think he's about 6 foot, 150 right now, so obviously he needs to get a little stronger, but he's given them some nice secondary offense, and I could see him being kind of like a fourth rounder right now. As for Acadie Bathurst, they got some nice NHL products. Antoine Morin, the Anaheim Ducks pick, I've heard him described before as kind of like a Tyson Jost kind of player. Real hard worker, some nice skill as well. You got German Rubsoff, the Flyers pick, who's working his way up the ladder, getting used to North America. He's been pretty good for them. Evan Fitzpatrick is their goaltender, and he has been lights out in the playoffs. He's a Blues pick, has really come on since joining Acadie Bathurst. He was originally with Sherbrooke, never really had a lot of players in front of him with the Phoenix, so his stats have always been a little wonky, but with the T10, obviously a much better team. Fitzpatrick has really shown what he can do. Great size in net. Last player I'll mention for the 2018 draft, Noah Dobson. Obviously the best defensive prospect in the Quebec League. And, other than Philip Zadina, he'll probably be the second taken from the queue. Big kid, skates really well, just scratching the surface. He's having a nice playoff run with the T10, and I know just a lot of fans on Twitter are excited about their teams getting a shot at Noah Dobson in the draft. I think he'll be top 10.
Interesting. Switching over to the Dub, we have the host Regina. Oh, wait, sorry. No, Regina is not in the WHL final. Just kidding. Sorry, Regina. You'll get your shot in the Memorial Cup.
Arresting.
That's right. Hey, it worked before for Windsor, right?
Yeah.
We've got the Swift Current Broncos versus the team that has one of my favorite players this year. I mean, everyone's favorite player, Mr. Carter Hart. Mm-hmm. Swift Current Broncos and the Everett Silvertips. Who do you like? Who do you have your eye on?
Well, first I'll say this is a fantastic matchup because you have the best goaltender in Major Junior versus one of the most high-powered attacks, or at least the most high-powered top lines with Swift Current. So I'll start with the Broncos. Alexi Heponiemi and Tyler Steenbergen just been lighting it up all year. Steenbergen obviously had the golden goal for Canada at the World Juniors. He's an Arizona Coyotes pick. And again, a bit of a late bloomer, was passed over his first draft year, but obviously piled up the points. This is a kid that just, he's a sniper. I mean, that's all you can really say. And then Heponiemi, the Florida Panthers pick, you have an incredible setup, man. And neither are very big, but they're getting the job done now. It'll be interesting to see, how they adjust once they get to the pro level. We know they need to get bigger and stronger, but, I mean, they're both so dynamic that I think they have a chance. And then, not to be outdone in net, Swift Current has Stuart Skinner, the Edmonton Oilers pick. And he came over from Lethbridge to shore up the Broncos' crease. And he's been great as well. We talk about Carter Hart and how he basically wins, goalie of the month and goalie of the week all the time. But Stuart Skinner has also been feted several times. Big kid. And again, you put him on a good team and he's showing what he can do. So it's going to be a great matchup in net because I agree. With Carter Hart, the Flyers pick, you just have an elite netminder that is so locked in right now. So it's going to be fun to see him. A couple other players up front for Everett, starting with the 2018 draft, Riley Sutter of the famous Sutter clan.
Another one.
Yeah, he's a power forward, still needs to work on getting a bit quicker, but great net front presence. I see him as probably like a late second, early third rounder right now, just because of the skating. But a lot to like about him. And then you got Patrick Bykoff, who the Florida Panthers just signed recently as a free agent. He's been lighting it up for them. And Garrett Pilon, son of former NHLer Rich Pilon. He's a Washington Capitals pick. And again, you know, big time shot and putting up a lot of points for the Silvertips. So they are not just about goaltending. They have a pretty good attack as well. But this will be a fun series.
Excellent. And I have some cool story, bro, trivia for the listeners out there. There was a Larkin with a Memorial Cup. My cousin Chris was on the 89 Swift Current Broncos.
So
there
you go. Boom.
He was the enforcer, though, and he's 6'3", 230. I don't understand. I'm 5'9", 175. I didn't get any of those genes. That's why I cover hockey instead.
Exactly.
Let's switch over to the USHL right now because there's some crazy stuff going on. Tell me about the USNTDP and how they're getting as far as they're getting right now.
Well, yeah, this is an amazing story. I mean, we talk about the Vegas Golden Knights in the NHL being so unexpected, but I gotta say, like, this NTDP squad, for them to be in the USHL semifinal, it's tied 1-1 as we record this. The NTDP beat Youngstown 10-6 to even up the series. Here's what you gotta understand. So the NTDP's under-18s, the kids that are up for the draft this year, they go to the World Under-18s. That's what their season is built around. So they did that, and they also brought with them some of the best underagers from the U-17s. So Jack Hughes, who we've talked about a lot, goaltender Spencer Knight, forward Cole Caulfield. There was, I think, five of them. Cam York was in there as well. So the best players from the U-17s went to the under-18s. Meanwhile, you have a couple of kids from the U-18s that didn't make that squad, and the rest of the U-17s are basically every year, you know, they're left to fend for themselves against the regular USHL teams, which have like 20-year-olds on them, a bunch of 18 and 19-year-olds, some of whom are already drafted into the NHL. So needless to say, Team USA doesn't do much in the USHL playoffs. But this year, because the U-17s are so talented and because they've come together so well, I mean, they're making a run at it without their best players. Like Jack Hughes, even though the World Under-18s are done, he's not playing in this series yet. He might play if they run into injury problems, but what I've been told is they're just going to go with the lineup they have right now. And, I mean, this is fantastic experience. You know, you got kids like Johnny Beecher, who's an excellent skater. He's been very good for them. Matthew Boldy, Owen Lindmark, and then Eric Middendorf, who's actually on the U-18s. He's been their leading scorer, so good for him. He's a Colorado College commit. Good for him. You know, I'm sure he was disappointed not to be at the World Under-18s, but he's making the most of his opportunity in the playoffs. So just a fantastic story. I'm very excited to see how far they can push this because it's pretty unprecedented.
Johnny Beecher sounds like a villain in a surfing movie from 1985. Dude, that's Johnny Beecher. No one can beat him. He's the best there is.
Totally. It was funny. As a quick sidebar, with all this Tom Wilson stuff going on in the NHL, I've just been thinking like... Love him or hate him, Tom Wilson would be in Cobra Kai, right?
Well, speaking of Cobra Kai, do people know about this web series that they've created, Cobra Kai?
I don't think I want to see that.
I don't like. It might be kind of sad.
I think it might
but
be. Yeah.
It's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah.
Look Anyways. It up if you don't know about it.
Yeah.
If you're an 80s action movie diehard.
Yeah.
Time for an interview, and this is an interesting one with Benoit Grue, head coach of the Syracuse Crunch, and also the father of one of the key players up for the draft in 2018, Benoit Olivier Grue.
That's right.
So here's the interview with Ryan and Mr. Grue.
I'm here with Benoit Grue, head coach of the AHL Syracuse Crunch, who are preparing to play the Toronto Marlies in the second round of the AHL playoffs. And to begin with, Benoit, what sort of challenge do the Marlies present for your squad?
Well, you know what? We know they have skills, they have speed, they have depth. They're a good all-around team. Like, they like to make plays, they want to make plays, and they're good at making plays. So when you look at their game, they're very dominant in many areas in this league. So it's a great challenge for us, but every team presents a different challenge, and it's for us to be ourselves, play our game, and try to disrupt them a little bit in what they want to do.
And speaking of your game, how do you like the crunch to play? Like, if there was a philosophy of how Syracuse comes through the ice, what do you want to see from your players?
Well, it's clear with our team that the identity we want on the ice is we want a team that's going to play fast, going to move the pucks, going to skate, a team who's going to be structure-wise well-positioned on the ice. That's basically what we want to do. Like, it's very simple hockey, but we want to do the fundamentals right, and this is what we ask our team.
Now, Syracuse is the AHL affiliate of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah. How much coordination is there between you and your staff and Tampa staff in terms of how players play the game? Because obviously you have guys like Anthony Cirelli who are with the Lightning right now that played with the Crunch this year.
You know what? We have a lot of freedom, but we also have a lot of... we share information with them. It's a very open relationship. We feel that... you know what, the guys that are on our team are here to play in the NHL at one point, and our goal is to develop them as much as we can, get them ready to help the big club if they need them. So for us, we always look at the long-term process. Like we try to get our players to be a three zone, good hockey player in the three zone. And this is what we work on with them every day in terms of, you know, development, like learn to play in the three zones, make sure the conditioning is well, make sure they know how to play fast, make sure that they're responsible defensively, but they're good players offensively as well. In the game of today's game, you got to be able to make plays offensively. It's not only about chipping the puck in, you got to be able to play with the puck. And this is what we try to accomplish with our guys.
Now, you have an extensive coaching resume, both AHL, and you've coached in Major Junior, particularly in the Quebec League. In terms of how you approach players, because obviously these guys are a little bit older, what's the difference between Major Junior and the AHL in terms of coaching?
Well, you know what? It's my fourth year in this league, and for me, I have turned the page on the junior hockey. Like, it's something that... I do just naturally. I think we have a great communication with our guys here. It's totally different, like coaching men or coaching teenagers. Like when you're in junior, you're having four or five guys of 16 years old on your team. They're babies, and it's a total different approach. But I really like the fact that the coaches and players in Syracuse were on the same page. We share a lot. We let them play. They let us coach, and I think it's a good recipe for success.
And I want to ask you a couple about a couple of the Crunch players. Starting with Mitchell Stevens, very highly touted, playing in his first full season. I know he got in a couple of playoff games last year, but what do you like about Mitchell Stevens' game?
You know what, Mitch has improved a lot this year. He had a slow start, but then he got accustomed to our system, what we want to accomplish. He got accustomed to the league. And I think he figured out the level of hockey he had to bring every day. And then he started scoring. He started having more ice time. He started producing more. He started being more a threat offensively. So I really like his progression. I think Mitch has been a very good player for us, playing the power plays, playing the PKs, playing centers, playing wing. So versatile player. He can play left wing as well. So I think it's great for him in his career to be able to play three position. So he's just a good all-around player that can score, great shot, great speed. So I really like his progression, and I think there's still more to come.
And one of the more veteran youngsters on the team, Matthew Pekka, who was at Quinnipiac before he turned pro. What has he meant to the squad this year?
Well, I thought Peck has been playing his best hockey lately, especially in the playoff. Like, he's, you know what, he took his game to another level with the speed, the skills, and scoring the big goals at the right time. So I think he's been huge for us, taking good face-offs, taking a lot of good minutes against top lines of the other team. So he's probably been, like I mentioned, like for us, he's playing his best hockey. And I think the numbers show that as well. And it's good to see that in his fourth year at this level, he's making that huge step.
And finally, I wanted to ask you about your son, Benoit Olivier Grou, who is up for the draft this year, played for the Halifax Mooseheads, had a very good campaign. What's it like being a pro coach that also has a son in junior who's up for the draft?
You know what, it's a good question, and it's different. Like, I don't approach that as a coach. I'm more the father than anything else in that. And that's a relationship we try to have. Like, more and more we're talking about hockey. The questions are more coming from him than the advice from me. Mm. But I try to wait and stay away a little bit, like stay out of it, let his coaches coach. And but it's exciting. The closer we get to the draft, it's exciting. I think it's going to be a good weekend there, and it's exciting to know where his future is going to be and how it's going to end up. But one thing I know is very proud of him. Like, he's a better player this year than he was last year. I think there's a lot of room for improvement, a lot of room for growth. And I feel that the older he gets, the more he understands that to play in the NHL, there's a lot of growth to do, there's a lot of improvement to do, and he understands that's a long-term process. And I feel that the team is going to draft him, is going to be very happy with him.
Do you ever text Julien Brisebois and say, like, you know, he plays like a 200-foot game, he's a pretty responsible kid?
Yeah, you know what, it's funny because I had that conversation with Al Murray, and for me, like, Tampa Bay's got a job to do, and they if they like him, they like him. If they don't, well, they don't, and there's 30 other teams in the league. But for me, I'm the coach in the AHL, and obviously I'm going to stay out of this.
There you go. Sounds good. Thanks so much for doing that.
All right, my pleasure.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Now it's time for our draft spotlight. We're going to do another son of a former prominent name. This time it's Matthias Samuelsson, mm-hmm. Part of the NTDP and son of Kael Samuelsson. So tell me a bit about Matthias or Matthias.
Yeah, Matthias Samuelsson, he's having a really nice year. And it's funny, I was teasing a scout the other day when I was getting quotes for draft preview about Samuelsson. I was saying, all right, so if you had to choose between Samuelsson and Keandre Miller, who also plays for the NTDP, who would you take? And he was like, I don't know. That's a tough one. Like, that's not fair. You know, they're different players, but Matthias Samuelsson, he was captain of the World Under 18 squad for Team USA, has been a very good player for the NTDP, big size, and, you know, he does a lot of good stuff. And, you know, really the only knock on him so far has been, you know, sometimes he's a little casual out there, but, you know, it's something that he'll continue to work on, obviously. And what's interesting to me is that, you know, when you look at the NTDP, you get a lot of commits going to Michigan or Boston U or Notre Dame or Boston College. Matthias Samuelsson is actually committed to Western Michigan, which is a very good program run by Andy Murray, the former LA Kings head coach. So I like that. I like that Samuelsson is going to a program that, you know, has typically featured older players. You know, they've had some pretty good prospects lately, like Wade Allison, the Flyers pick. But I think Samuelsson can really make a name for himself there. Great poise with the puck, keeps the play going, gets pucks to the net. High IQ, bit of a nasty streak, good hands, good footwork. So you're looking at like a pretty safe selection in terms of the skill set he brings. He's definitely one of those like 25 to like, I would even say 35 guys. I think that he could definitely go late in the first round. And if he doesn't, then a team is certainly going to snap him up early in the second round.
Interesting. Apparently, I'm full of random stories today. Whenever I hear Wade Allison, I laugh because of the 2016 draft. In Buffalo, we're in the sports bar outside Buffalo's arena, KeyBank Center, and he looks so much like Jack Eichel that I went up to him and was like, Jack. And Wade Allison was like, no, it's Wade. He was pissed off, and I kind of don't blame him. Cool story, bro.
That was like the fifth time that it happened, probably.
Yeah, probably. Day. But I looked him right in the eyes, point blank. I was like, Jack. It wasn't Jack Eichel.
Not Jack Eichel.
Now it's time for our team spotlight. And this is a team that, it's funny, a year ago was not perceived to have as rich of a prospect pool, but I really think that's changed over the past year. The Boston Bruins, partially because of the impact that some of their young guys have had at the NHL, like Jake DeBrusk, but also who they have coming. I guess we'll start with a guy who did get a taste of the NHL and might get more as the playoffs progress, Ryan Donato.
Yeah, I mean, this kid, he just produces, and he had such a great college career with Harvard. We've already seen a bit of him with the Bruins. Just, I mean, great hands, great skills. I really like how the Bruins are set up right now. And I actually did a blog on David Pastrnak for the website the other day. And part of it was pointing out the lineage that they have going on right now, where they have such fantastic veterans, but then they're bringing up all this youth. And, you know, we've seen a little bit of Donato, and, you know, Anders Bjork has spent some time with the Bruins. A couple of guys have gotten at least taste, but I really think Donato can be a great skill guy, and I'm sure we'll see more of him next year. Staying out in the AHL tip, Jacob Forsbacka Carlson, awesome two-way player. I wonder if he could kind of be like David Krejci's replacement in a couple of years. Like, I wonder if that's kind of where they see him. You know, a two-way guy who, you know, plays a 200-foot game, but he can give you offense. I do remember, it was kind of funny because, you know, his draft year, he played for Omaha in the USHL, and scouts were like, yeah, he's a really great player. I'm not sure how much offense he has in his game. Then he goes to Boston University, and he, like, lit it up. So it's like, well, point taken. I guess JFK can get it done in the offensive zone as well. Trent Frederick, Wisconsin alum. He's getting some AHL experience right now. Kind of similar to JFK, where you could put him in that middle six role and he could really excel. I think he has some nice offense to his game. We saw that at the World Juniors. He had some amazing performances there for Team USA. Two more players I mentioned really quickly. Ryan Fitzgerald, who was always going to be sort of a long-term prospect because he was pretty like raw and skinny when they drafted him, but he's really come along well. And Jeremy Lauzon on the defense, more of a shutdown guy, and you know, he's battled injuries early in his career, but I think that with what the Bruins have now up top, especially with young guys Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo, you know, Jeremy Lauzon, he can develop in Providence and, you know, get those reps, just get used to that grind again, and I think he's got a pretty nice future.
It's funny, the marketing potential of JFK is unbelievable. Just picturing like in Boston, you could wear, people could wear JFK masks.
That's right.
He could have his crew. Oh, it'd be amazing. Typically, an ECHL prospect isn't something to be excited about, except, of course, when it's a goaltender, because that's where goalies sometimes go just to get their reps. So tell me about Daniel Vlatter.
Yeah, Daniel Vlatter, really good goaltender out of the USHL, played for the Chicago Steel, and you know, we saw a lot of European goalies go to the USHL route after the CHL banned imports that played goalie. So now he's with the Atlanta Gladiators of the ECHL, and he's getting his starts. And we've said this before, that's the most important thing for a goaltender. And with him, he's got great size. I think there's a lot to build on. The Providence Bruins, you know, they had sort of like more quote-unquote veteran AHL netminders this year. So, and you know, that's fine. You got to develop those guys too. You know, and Zane McIntyre got a shot at the NHL. But for Vladish, you know, it was a good spot for him to get those reps. I thought he handled himself pretty well. And obviously the next step for him is to get reps in Providence.
And what about overseas in Europe? Who are you looking at on Boston?
Well, there's two players in particular. Urho Vahakanainen, who I'm never confident that I'm saying his name right. Defenseman from Finland. Had a decent year. I'd like to see a little more offense. He is a good puck mover. Has a lot of poise. And, you know, he's playing against men, so that's good for him. And then Oscar Steen, who I thought was part of one of the most effective lines at the World Juniors for Sweden, playing with Isaac Lundestrom and Tim Soderlund. That was like the sort of big energy line for the Swedes. I feel like Boston Bruins fans are really going to like Steen. He's an undersized guy, but like he's nasty to play against. Mm. You know, like he gets in on the forecheck, he hits, he grinds, he's got some skill to him. I would hazard to say he's kind of like a benevolent Brad Marchand, you know? Like, you don't see him stepping over the line, but he definitely plays the game hard. So I like what I see in Oscar Steen, even though he's not like a really big body.
Gotcha. What about the college ranks right now?
Well, one player in particular that opened a lot of eyes was Jeremy Swayman, playing at the University of Maine. You know, he was kind of late round pick out of the USHL. And he really tore it up. He stole the starter spot from an older teammate, and then he got onto Team USA's World Juniors squad. And he got in one game. Obviously, he was not doing the lion's share of the work, but I mean, good for Swayman. He's got some good size, and he's developed very quickly. And making the jump from the USHL to college, it's not always easy, especially for a netminder. But Swayman, I thought he had a fantastic freshman year, and from here on out, we just got to see what he can do.
Hmm. And what about Major Junior? Looking at anyone there?
Yeah, one final player I'll mention, and he's now that his OHL season's done, he's actually with Providence, but he'll be back with the Oshawa Generals, is Jack Studnicka. And again, this is a player that I think a lot of Bruins fans will enjoy. 200-foot guy. He's responsible, but I feel like every time I see Jack Studnicka in the playoffs, he seems to like elevate his game. And he's got skill. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Jake DeBrusque in that sense. Maybe not as yappy, I really like Studnicka. I think that, you know, he's a good leader and he's got a really good skill base. So, you know, again, there's no rush because Boston has so many good prospects, but I think Studnicka was a really nice choice for the Bruins.
And it's interesting, maybe telling, that, you know, 2015 draft, Matt Barzal, Boston famously passed on him 3 times in a row. And we mentioned DeBrusque, but you know who we're not mentioning right now? Zach Sinishin and Jacob Zboril. Do you think, have they hit a wall? Or do you think there's still time for them to justify the first round status?
I feel that, you know, with Zboril, we're probably looking at like an AHL player at this point, unless something kicks into gear. With Sinishin, I know he's had some injuries, but, you know, if he's not scoring goals, he's not really doing anything for you. If he can round out his game, then that's fantastic. And he's in Providence right now, so he's getting the proper seasoning. But I really feel that, you know, Jake DeBrusque is kind of the key there. And when they made, it's funny because Zboril was ranked pretty high. So when they took Zboril, it was like, okay, that makes sense. When they took DeBrusque, you know, I think I had him at the time as like a late first rounder, maybe early second. But when they made that pick, it was like, okay, well, I see that. Because if you're a big Jake DeBrusque fan, you've got multiple first rounders, you want to make sure you get him. Sinishin was the one that was obviously off the board for most people. And, you know, we saw some upside with Sault Ste. Marie, but, you know, the injuries were unfortunate. I need to see more than like a straight line rushing game from him. And that's his task now is just, rounding out his game and proving that he can hang with the upper echelon of the Bruins prospects.
All right, well, thanks, Ryan, and you can keep enjoying Jake DeBrusque in the Stanley Cup playoffs as long as Boston's alive against Tampa Bay. And to anyone watching all the big finals in Major Junior, enjoy. Thanks for listening.